Let's take a look at the mutual funds case study document. Now, this is not an assignment, so don't get all bent out of shape. You don't have to do it. But I hope you do, because it forces you to apply the material that you've learned in Chapter 4. And the true answer is that any answer is correct. Anything you write down is okay. Well, maybe not, as we'll discuss in just a bit. Let's read together. You are an investment advisor at No Hope Financial. You remember him, No Hope. He's from, anyway. Below are three case studies. With your group, create a suggested allocation of mutual funds for each of the three case studies. You see, in the face-to-face class, we get together and work in little groups, but you're on your own. How much would you allocate to each mutual fund from any lump sum the clients have? How much would you suggest they contribute each month? And how much would you suggest they allocate to each mutual fund from their monthly contributions? Explain your reasons. Explain the reasons you made your choices. So, at the bottom of the document are just generic mutual funds. And we discuss many of these, we discuss all of these, types of mutual funds. There's some index funds, and if it doesn't say index fund, then they are actively managed. And, of course, you can be very aggressive, or you can be very conservative, but explain why you're being aggressive or why you're being conservative. And what I find is that, especially with people's 401k plans, they tend to go, as I said in the presentation, they tend to go over to one area or the other area. They tend to be very, very aggressive and say, I'm going to shoot for the moon. I'm going to make as much money as I can. And yeah, I know I could lose a lot of money, but I'm in it for the long term. And then when they see their $10,000 become $6,000 or their, whatever, they lose 40%, they don't often feel so brave. Or what they do, they're in their 20s, and they put everything into the money market fund, thinking, I don't want to lose any money. Wait a minute. You've got 30, 40, 50 years to go. You can take some risk. You don't have to put it all in the aggressive growth fund, but you could put some in the balance fund or the growth and income fund. So you see, if you want to make the instructor happy, you'll stay somewhere in the middle. But that doesn't mean you have to. If you really believe that you'll give up that opportunity cost to make 4, 5, 8, 9% over the long term because you don't want to lose any money, then go ahead. I think you're making a terrible mistake personally, but that's why I'm me and you're you. And if you truly believe that you want to put everything onto red number 7 and go with that aggressive growth biotechnology fund, well, all I can say is good luck. And I believe you're making a good choice over the long term for a small percentage of your investment, but not for 100% of your investment, because the volatility is going to make you sick, literally, emotionally, when it drops 50%, which they do from time to time. So let's read together. Case number one. A childless couple in their mid-40s, so they still have, some time left to build up more of their nest egg, wants you to help them start an investment program. They have just received a $50,000 inheritance from the wife's parents. How often does that happen? They say they will not need the money until retirement. Bingo, long term, right? Greater than 5, 10, 15 years. They each make a respectable salary and already own their own home. They currently have no savings, and although each has a 401k program at work, neither has taken advantage of it. This is not atypical. And a lot of them match. You know, you put in $100, they put in 50. Oof, that's free money. Who's going to give you a 50% return on your money in one day? Your employer, right? The husband once lost all $15,000 of an inheritance playing the commodities futures market. Yeah, that gave him a bad taste. And the idea of investing makes them very, very nervous. Now, what can you say about these people, right? They're not atypical in the United States. There are many people making good salaries, and they don't save a dime. And then they get into their 40s and 50s, and they go, I better start saving. And if you did the future value exercises, you'll see they should have done that 20 years ago. But they still have plenty of time. So how are you going to get them started? Now, the case number two is different. This is one that we see often, and it just, you know, you just, it, you got to get these people to take business 123, right, folks? There's a young woman in her early 20s who has just graduated from college and landed a job as an elementary school teacher. She has $18,000 in student loans. Not unusual. Sometimes it's a whole lot more. Her father is hounding her to start a retirement program now. Because she is a teacher at a public school, she is eligible for a 403B. That's very similar to the 401K. She knows absolutely nothing about investing, but said her father has been investing for many years and told her she needs to start learning now. She has no immediate plans for marriage and starting a family or buying a house. So you see, the father is kind of shrewd. He doesn't want to tell her what to invest in. He wants her to learn. And she is a little nervous. She doesn't know what to do. What would you tell her to do? Now, here's where you see somebody in this situation. They don't know that much about investing. They're very, very afraid, with good reason. As we've already discussed, volatility is real, as one of my students said to me, and I thought, that's true. The volatility is real. She might be tempted to put everything into the money market because somebody would tell her, oh, you know, you don't have to worry about losing any money if you put it in the money market. Right, but she's not going to make a dime. Well, she'll maybe make a dime over the one year because that's how bad these things are now. And so she needs to educate herself, and she needs good investment advice because you're the financial advisor, right? You're the investment advisor. So what do you tell her? What do you tell her? You think. Case number three, a divorced couple in their mid-30s are worried about sending their kids to college. They have two children, ages 2 and 7, and neither is remarried. So, you know, it's difficult, right? They're at their peak stride, and now they've gone through a divorce, and they have two kids. They have joint custody, and so far the divorce has been amicable. Although both are working, neither has a 401k plan. The father just received $10,000 from an accident settlement. They both say that money is tight. Neither has a large amount of disposable income. Again, not an atypical scenario. Divorce is one of the worst things that might happen to you in this lifetime, not only emotionally, but also financially. What do you tell them? All right, what do you tell them? And again, as I said, there are many, many good answers, and virtually anything you say, as long as you back it up. But what I caution you against is telling people to put everything into very aggressive, a little bit aggressive, but not everything, or everything into the money market or the, you know, short-term bond fund, just to be so safe. All right? And if you want to turn it in, please do. Please do turn it in. I've thought about making this a discussion forum. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that. And if I do that, I'll give you some points for it. How's that sound? Let me think. So take a look at this and realize that there's going to be something like it on the exam. So if you want me to look it over first, please ask me. Okay? Have fun. Above everything else, have fun. Don't worry about being perfect. Don't get that deer in the headlight stare. I don't know how to make an investment recommendation to somebody. I don't even know what to invest in myself. Just go back over, make sure you understand the differences between the different mutual funds, and make an informed recommendation. And have fun. See ya.